Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. I got with me the president of Striking Media, Mr. Michael King. Welcome, Michael.
Hello. It's great to be here. It's actually Striking Marketing.
Striking Marketing. I'm sorry. So now tell us about Striking Marketing. How are you serving folks?
Currently how we're serving folks, we're still one of our biggest clients is Kaiser Permanente. And we do all their grassroots marketing campaigns here in the state of Georgia. And we're still working with them on a daily basis, trying to come up. Right now it's shifted. Usually it's kind of talking to the consumer, and now we're helping support their staff and doing kind of positive things with them. So, example, later this week, we are going to be doing a deal with King of Pops, and we're bringing out 30 coolers around the city to kind of say thank you and kind of support them and kind of give them a break for a moment. So we've kind of altered. And in the same vein, because we're so resourceful in event marketing, you're always sourcing something or trying to think of how to create something that is unique. So you're talking to a lot of different vendors. We have actually started helping John Hopkins out of Baltimore, Maryland, source supplies in non-traditional ways.
And that at the heart of Striking Marketing is this kind of event marketing or immersive brand immersion for brands and companies. That's the heart of your business?
Yes, that is the core of our business. Our business is all about kind of getting in touch with the consumer and creating an experience for them so they have an emotional tie to the brand, which entails being out there. One of our clients, one of the last big events we did was the Tough Mudder here in the state of Georgia for Myoderm, their CBD cream, where we're out there and we created a rest and relaxation lounge where we had physical therapists out there. On top of the physical therapists, we had personal trainers. We had Adirondack chairs, just an area to relax. And then we took donations of old sneakers and then gave out samples of the Myoderm CBD cream. And then also let people try it on right there on spot. Obviously, in this climate, that is a no-go whatsoever. So we've seen our business completely come to a halt, except for these kind of specialized things that are popping up now in the marketplace.
So now, how does a company that relied on in-person brand experience, you know, kind of human-to-human, now kind of pivot and adjust their kind of same, I'm sure philosophically you're trying to create the same type of engagement, but do it more virtually or online or through video or web. So how have you made that shift?
So as a small agency, I think a lot of us have the same issues when you're growing, and we've been growing over the last 10 years. And one of the things is like, hey, we'll get to that when we have time. We're trying to really adjust to that moment now. And one of the things that has definitely been left behind or hasn't been attended to that much was our online presence. So we're really starting to grow that and kind of come up with a game plan moving forward over the next, what we are guesstimating in our industry, 3 to 6 months. Because even if the economy comes back, we'll be social distancing, which means my business is out of commission for a while. So we're trying to really target and reach people through those platforms and really show fun and engaging ways. But another thing we're trying to do is we are all in the process of coming up in the office of a list of 2 to 5 of our favorite charities and seeing how we can highlight them through our social media channels and kind of promote them that way. And then in addition, it is kind of creating those unique things where we can drop an experience off instead of having to completely activate it. So it's beyond even turnkey. It's kind of leaving it up to setting it up to the people there, using the example again of bringing out King of Pops to all the Kaiser Permanente employees that are still working 12, 18-hour days. We're trying to kind of ease that pain and really kind of give a positive moment. It's kind of our focus at the present moment. And then in addition, they still sponsor, Kaiser still sponsors their green market. So we're trying to really help them and get them some new assets and just different ways to kind of approach it.
Now, is your work typically business to consumer, and then this is more of a business to business initiative?
Yes, I would completely, that is 100% correct. I'd say 80 to 90% of our business is straight to the consumer. And that is kind of changed because the consumer's not out there right now. They're at home. So we're trying to help our business partners as well and go business to business.
So now, how, when you're attacking it that way and you spend so much time dealing with the consumer, is it a mindset shift on your team's part, or is kind of a customer's a customer? It doesn't matter if it's B2B or B2C.
It definitely, I think, is a mind shift on some level, because, and you have to have a sensitivity to the time period we're in. Logistically, we're still kind of thinking the same way, but new things are coming to us logistically. Like, example, we're going to send these 30 coolers out. Well, they're going to be in medical facilities for up to a week, and then those 30 coolers are coming back to us. What do we do with them? Because right now, because of the coronavirus, we're dealing with that. So we're really thinking in different ways to engage, and then thinking about the how to deal with certain issues that we've never dealt with before.
Do you find back in the day before there was COVID-19, you know, when you were doing your normal things you do to serve the consumer, what was the ROI kind of equation you were using when you were working with your customers?
It just depends on the brand, you know, and what they're trying to accomplish, because we are more of an emotional kind of tie. Show that is more of how people talk about the brand afterwards in studies or research after it. Now the ROI isn't as drastic, because it's more about, from our clients, they're more about how do they help or support people on some level than it is, are we spending enough to make enough later, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would think that in your normal business, it's you're trying to kind of connect a feeling or an emotion with an event and have that transfer to your clients so they feel good, or they, however you want them to feel, excited, energized, inspired. And
we're taking that now, exactly what you said, that positive, fun, enjoyable, we're shifting that to more support of people. I feel like the other way is a little bit more in your face. We can be a little bit bolder. We can have a little bit more of a presence and jump on that soapbox and speak a little bit louder in a fun, energetic way, where right now in the current climate, it is more of a support role. It's more of a less in your face and just more of a support. Yeah.
Now, I think, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I think that especially during this time, it's easy for some companies to go, you know what, I'm going to hide in my bunker and wait this thing out, and then I'll just pop up when it's over. But I think the brands that are going to succeed are the ones that still have some brand ubiquity, and they're still out there and still out in front. They might not be doing, like you said, the thing they normally do, but they're still out there serving, helping, and doing the best they can and just helping in any, by any means necessary. Do you find that to be true?
I completely. And if we want to talk on a larger scale in the country, let's be completely honest with ourselves here. I think Hanes is going to be something that they're doing the right thing. It's not what they do, but it's in the vein of what they can help. And that is emotionally, whether we want to admit it or not, because they're doing the right thing for us and really helping, they're not trying to sell the human being anymore. Sell stuff to humans. They're trying to help and support. That emotional tie will last a lot longer. I think what GM and Ford are doing are very similar in that aspect. And that's what we need in society at the present moment. And I really feel what we've tried to do is we're looking at it from a standpoint of how can we just help people? We all have to get through this together. Again, we're helping Hopkins and Mercy in Baltimore, Maryland, source products. And when I say source products, we're doing everything from looking for masks in non-traditional ways to finding them 30,000 fanny packs. And when you think about it, you go, why does John Hopkins need 30,000 fanny packs? And why are they coming to an event marketing company to get that? Well, it's not something they normally source. It's something that we can find off the beaten trail, but they're trying to think ahead of the curve and go, hey, listen, we're going to run out of masks. And if we can create these kits that have these pieces in there, it'll be less likely that they'll lose them, and we'll be able to kind of maybe last longer with the quantities we have. So it's that different thought processes of how you can fit in this new kind of environment and really help people through it. And those people, I feel like, are doing that, are going to succeed and survive and succeed throughout the process while still trying to help their core group out. And really what we've started doing is, because we're an event marketing company, and logistics are our thing, and we, we kind of come through with the 11th hour on a lot of different stuff over the years. We're just reaching out to our clients and basically saying, look, beyond work, is there something we can do to help you, to help your company, and to help your team out? And that, I think, is what we should all be doing and not worrying about total the bottom line at the present moment. Because if we don't make it through society as a group, there is no bottom line later. So that's kind of our philosophy and our thought process.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of America's secret sauce of where a lot of us are entrepreneurs at heart, and our ability to problem solve and be creative is what's going to get us through this.
Yeah. This is the mother of all inventions. It's when your back's against the wall. I feel this country comes up the biggest, and humans come up the biggest, and that's where we're at. It's finding how we can just help. And it could just be simply reaching out to people, right? And it could ease their tension a little bit. That can help something else down the line. It is those one little thing that kind of has this snowball effect.
So now when all this... go ahead.
No. And I was just going to lead into... And that's kind of what we're trying to do with the theater. I own part of the Village Theater, and it is, as we say, it's a for-profit nonprofit. We've never made a dime. It's more of the community that we've grown. It's more how we've influenced and helped people throughout. And we have 100 company members that are itching to do something creatively and get out there, but they can no longer do it in their traditional sense. They can't do it in a teaching a class, getting on stage and live, or creating their sketch. So in creating an online avenue, people are getting that possible release. And then we're partnering with Skillshot here in town, and they're helping us get on Twitch, get on Facebook for a lot less than they normally charge their clients. But they're helping it because they see the positive aspect of it. And how does it help? Well, now these creative people that are locked in their houses that are really extroverts, most of them, are now being able to have an avenue to help people that are out there maybe just laugh for a couple of minutes. And then what does it do for the theater? Well, it keeps us relevant. It keeps our name out there. And it potentially in the future opens up a whole nother avenue of comedy and a potential a money stream in the much, much, much distant future.
Right. And it's about content, creativity. And like you said, people want to laugh. And what brands don't want to be associated with that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, my client at Kaiser, they're really considering being part of it because one of their little taglines they have, not little, one of their taglines is laughter is the best medicine. Well, there's not a better time to have laughter as your medicine in the beyond the current environment.
So now talk about the theater a little bit. What caused you to get involved with that and bring that project to life?
I made a huge mistake in life. No, a bunch of my friends and I about 10 or 12 years ago all were performing at other places, and we decided to kind of take the jump and start together. We just enjoyed playing, performing together. So we did an hour to 2 hour show in a small venue for about a year. And then my business partner, Blair Holden, who's a VP in finance at a local bank, said, hey, listen, I have a crazy idea. If these guys are our inventory, if they commit to doing it for 5 years, we have a viable commodity, and we could possibly kind of bring comedy at a less expensive price because our competitors are in town. Some of them are priced at $25 a ticket, where we always felt like if it's comedy and it's improv and we're making it up on the spot, that's overpriced. So we decided to start in the old Fourth Ward. We started in a strip mall doing two shows a weekend. And that was in 2008. And our ticket prices were $10 then. It is now 2020. We went from 13 company members to now we have 100 plus company members. When we're open, we do shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some weekends we can do up to 20 unique different shows a weekend. And then we have class programs that come up through that. And for us, the adjustment moving forward in our class program is, do we move to online? Well, it makes it a little difficult and hard. And then you also think, how do you broadcast an improv or /improv show when no one can get close to each other? And we're really all staying in our houses. And that's why we partnered with Skillshot, they're figuring out that technology where we'll be able to interact on a smaller scale, like the major corporations or major media groups are doing, like NBC and CBS for their morning shows.
Mm-hmm. So now, so that's kind of a passion project for you on the side?
Yes, completely. My business partner and I have, I think the best month we ever had that we were paid was a $250. For the better part of years, we put money into it. And it is a positive place that it's when you're on stage, for me, it's a bubble of having fun where you're focused on just that for that time period. And then off stage, it is nice to see 100 to 120 creative people having an outlet and just coming up with some really unique and different things. Just to look behind the curtain, we sent out an email, I think it was Sunday, saying, look, we're going to start this. We need ideas. And I've had every idea from somebody dressing up in their mermaid outfit and reading kids stories to someone reading 5-star reviews in a dramatic way to creating characters online. And let's voice those characters right there on the spot. So it's a lot of different things. And it is truly, truly amazing to me to watch people when they're in certain situations and have to think differently, come up with such creative and unique ideas. And lastly, three of the people at our theater company are on the CDC response team. So they're going to do almost like a gossip column type set, but take on serious questions that are bigger on the pandemic and trying to answer and ease people's tensions on that. So there's a lot of positives of it and really nice things coming out of that. So, yeah, it is a total passion project.
Look, some people play golf. So good for you. I mean, you're able to make the thing you like to do for fun, something that you're helping other people, you know, kind of build their own content and career around.
Yeah. And one of the things I've been telling my theater company is that I've been doing improv long enough I did it around 9/11. And I remember the theater company we were at after 9/11 asked us if we wanted to do the show, and we did the show that Thursday, and two women came up to us in near tears. And we're like, I didn't think the show was that bad. They're like, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's like, we've been stuck in Atlanta since Tuesday on 9/11. And all we've thought about is how do we get home? How do we get to our families? How do we get to our friends? And this is the first time for 2 hours we didn't think about that. So we just wanted to say thank you. And that's what a lot of the country needs at the present moment. And it's not just the people watching it. The performers need to do that to get it out of themselves as well. So it has been very, very humbling and enjoyable in a mass chaos kind of situation, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all the success. If somebody wanted to learn more about Striking Marketing, what's the website for that?
Strikingmarketing.com. And the theaters is villagecomedy.com.
Good stuff. Well, Michael, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.